This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. Another candidate interview as we get close to the conclusion of the election cycle. And Alex Garlatos running for state representative in District 4 on. Alex, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Kyle.
So I guess, first of all, just to put the parameters up, explain to folks what part of Douglas County District 4 is in and some of the other areas that the district encompasses.
Well, House District 4 is, for the most part, anywhere south of Winston all the way down, including Central Point. So all the rural towns on I-5, Central Point, Gold Hill, Rogue River, Canyonville, and at least on the west side of I-5, all the way up to Highway 42.
And kind of an interesting layout for the district, because it doesn't include Grants Pass, right?
It does not. Grants Pass is cut out for the other House district under Noah Robinson. Dwayne Yunker is the representative for that one. But it's just a very, you know, it's a very rural district that encompasses southern Douglas County, kind of northeastern Josephine County and northwestern Jackson County.
So you sought other offices before. What attracted you about trying to become part of the Oregon State Legislature?
Well, we need good people. There's a lot of competitive seats right now. We are working on staying out of the supermajority, which is something that I think every Republican should care deeply about, because right now we can at least stop the worst of the tax bills. But if we're in the supermajority, we can't really stop anything, and walking would be our only option, unfortunately. So I would just encourage every Republican to get out there and vote.
What do you feel like the focus of a state legislator should be?
The needs of the district, of course, representing your district in Salem. There's a lot of issues coming down the pike for this legislative session. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll see the worst of what the Democrats have in store for us until probably the end of the session. But at least for now, I'm working on stopping the worst of the bills the Democrats are trying to put forward, and bringing whatever resources I can back to the district.
So what qualities do you feel like you bring to the table to help?
Well, I'm very knowledgeable about the timber industry and small business, and of course those are things that affect this district a little bit disproportionately more than others. So I would, you know, most of what I've been working on the last few years, of course, has been federal timber legislation, and at least with ONC, you know, it falls to the federal government. But there's still a lot of issues that I can take care of on the state level, again, focusing on rural jobs especially. And a lot of infrastructure projects for the district that we're frankly way behind on that we need state help with.
Let's talk about some of those issues. You've talked a lot about timber management. What's the role of the state legislature in working on that, especially when a lot of the lands are federally controlled?
Well, again, most of the land is federally controlled, unfortunately. But there is a lot of state forest land that needs to be managed better as well, in particular the Elliott State Forest. So I would work, and of course, I mean, I'm also going to be working with the counties to represent them to the state government as well. And obviously, it's mostly an issue between the counties and federal government, so I'll work with the county commissioners and make sure their needs are met when it comes to dealing with the state government.
What were your thoughts about the change that was approved in the past couple of weeks by the State Land Board regarding the future of the Elliott State Forest as a research forest?
I would like to see it be a working forest instead of a research forest. I know they came very close to accomplishing that several years ago until Kate Brown put the kibosh on it. So I suppose anything is better than nothing, but I would prefer to see it be a working forest as opposed to a research forest.
Now that this new framework has been put in motion, though, do you feel like there's any likelihood that that would be shifted at all, especially given the composition of the land board?
What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, is there a way to change the parameters that have been put together when the only people that can make that change are the people that have set it up the way it is now?
Not particularly, not anytime soon anyway. Again, I hope that Republicans can gain control of a lot of these state offices that decide those things. We'll see how that goes. This election is going to be very important. Again, keeping us out of the supermajority, we have, just really quick, we only have about half of the turnout in Douglas County that we did at this same point in 2022. And 2022 was a midterm. So I would encourage everyone to turn their ballots in, because turnout should not be this low this far into the election cycle. If you turn your ballot in, it will keep you from getting targeted by phone calls from people encouraging you to turn in your vote. You can also track your ballot and make sure that it's been counted before the election. So I would just encourage everyone to turn in their ballots and make sure that we have higher turnout than at least 2022, which was a midterm.
Of course, the state legislature works on the state budget, and as you've looked at that right now, what would you advocate for in terms of maybe some shifting priorities over what's going on now?
I would shift a lot of priorities toward infrastructure. There's right now, I think the legislature is planning on spending a lot of money that we don't have, in particular on housing. And while I'm in favor of housing, I think that the free market should handle it. It shouldn't be state money shouldn't be spent on housing. We should just loosen up land restrictions to allow people to build more affordable housing, especially in areas, you know, outside of Roseburg and all these areas up and down the I-5 corridor that have housing shortages. I mean, that's part of why a lot of young people can't afford housing. And I would like to see the private sector solve those problems over state government, because, frankly, they're faster and more effective and more cost effective as well.
What about for other areas of the state budget? What kinds of changes would you make maybe to education?
Well, education is something that always needs more resources. I know everyone in the area here locally needs more money. There's a lot of problems that face rural school districts in particular when it comes to busing a lot of, you know, special needs students, because a lot of them have to go to very particular areas to get their education. Sometimes they're being bused over an hour. And that, of course, is dramatically more expensive than the average student. So I would look at reforming the amount of money that they get for those students in particular, because, frankly, those types of students are increasing in number and our budgets need to reflect that. But I would also love to see, you know, a voucher system for students that aren't in the public school system so that they can go out and seek charter schools, private schools, or homeschooled and not have to pay into the public school system.
Now, of course, in Oregon, when we've got such a large percentage of the population north of Eugene, it really creates a climate of almost two states to an extent, the urban-rural divide. What have you observed about that?
Well, that's a great point. I've observed a lot of that, in particular with my last run for Congress. It seems like the Democrats in the city go out of their way to punish people that live in rural areas with a lot of these taxes and fees that seem very targeted almost exclusively at rural people. So I'm going to advocate against those and vote against them and hopefully try to get consensus among the Democrats that just because something is right for downtown Portland or Eugene doesn't mean it's right for southern Douglas County or Josephine County or Jackson County.
As the state is looking at a lot of infrastructure projects, of course, the majority of those are in the Portland area and on south a bit. How do you make sure that the state is providing for adequate roads in this part of the state?
That's one of the things that I'm going to have to do once I get there. I mean, there's a lot of areas that need infrastructure. I know Canyonville is dealing with a lot of roads issues right now as well. That's something I'm going to try to bring some money home to the district for. I haven't really met with a lot of people at the extreme southern end of the district, and I'm trying to knock that out before I take office in January. But infrastructure is always an issue. We always seem to be behind on it. And so that's one of the few areas where I think I can bring some money home for the district.
All right, back with more in a moment. Alex Scarlatos running for state representative in House District 4. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM at 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. Alex Scarlatos with us, running for state representative in House District 4. As you've gotten into this race, you mentioned talking to people around the area. And, of course, because of how big the district is, you also mentioned you haven't been able to connect as much with some of the people in the south part of the district. Is that something you're going to be working on some this week as well while people are still voting?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was just down in the Grants Pass area for a kind of listening board on rural schools. I do need to get down more to the southern part of the district, and I look forward to it before, again, taking office. I'm not sure if I'll be able to hit every little town down there before people are done voting. But it's something I'm definitely working on. But I think I have a pretty good feel for what people in the district want. I mean, a lot of them want to end Oregon sanctuary state status. A lot of people don't think the Measure 110 reforms went far enough. And frankly, that's something I agree with completely. I would like to make drugs actually illegal again and have real teeth behind those laws instead of the, frankly, very soft reforms that they put in place.
As we've watched the drug crisis, the homeless crisis evolve, do you see any hope that the reforms that have been put in are going to make a difference?
To be honest, not a lot. There's just not enough teeth behind those laws. I mean, most of the reforms were kind of in name only, and there's no real punishment for people that are breaking the law and violating, illegal drug laws. So, unfortunately, I don't think it will help with either the homeless problem or the addiction problem that we have, because there's nothing forcing people to seek treatment or even go to jail. It's just not nearly enough, and it's not where we were before Measure 110 was passed, and that's where I'd like to get back to.
And what do you think the role of the counties versus the state should be in this? Should it be allowed more to each city or county to work on their ideas, or should the approach come top down from the state?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get the leadership top down from the state. So I would like to empower our local communities to handle it however they see fit. I would trust the cities in my district and the counties in my district a lot more than I trust the state, even though I'm going to be in state government. I just believe in local control wherever possible, especially on this issue, because, a local sheriff is going to know how to police their own county a hell of a lot better, more than someone in Salem or Portland would.
As you look at the business community, what's your thought about once you're in Salem, if you're elected, what you could do to help the business community in this part of Oregon?
Cutting taxes and regulation. Obviously, I hope the ballot measure goes down that increases taxes. I hope we can repeal the CAT tax at some point. We need more Republicans in the state legislature to be able to do that. So, again, everyone can turn out and vote, please. And I just think cutting taxes and regulation would be ideal, especially taxes in the state are through the roof and only getting worse. So I'm going to be fighting those wherever possible.
And are there other specifics in terms of business? I mean, we've seen, especially in the north part of the state, some pretty big companies pull out, or at least partially pull out, and go to other places.
Well, exactly. I mean, Oregon needs to be more competitive when it comes to our tax structure and regulation, of course, as well. I think that even some Democrats are realizing that they maybe have gone too far. I've heard stories of, you know, large businesses deciding to leave the state and then Tina Kotek going behind the back of the Democrats and trying to talk these businesses into staying and giving them other incentives to stay. But again, the Democrats in the state House and the state Senate are still trying to get tax increases wherever they can. And again, they're even trying to do it on a ballot measure since they don't have a supermajority currently. So I would encourage everyone to pretty much vote no on just about all the ballot measures.
As you look at like the issues surrounding fish and wildlife in Oregon, with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife overseeing a lot of things there, are there things that you would like to see done differently in that area?
To be honest, that's not an issue I'm super familiar with, and part of that will depend on what committees I get on when I get to Salem. I'm obviously rooting for natural resources or small business, but we'll see what committees I get on, because at the end of the day, that's not entirely under my control either.
And along with those, well, let's put it this way. What particular skills do you think you would bring if you got onto those committees?
Again, I would just, you know, bring the representation of rural communities. I mean, this is probably one of the most rural districts in Western Oregon. So I would love to affect any kind of change when it comes to rural jobs, small businesses, and forest management. And those are the two committees that would affect that the most. So regardless, those are what I'm shooting for, because that's what helps the district the most.
Have you had an opportunity during the campaign, or maybe even before, to go up and watch prior sessions of the legislature?
Yes, I have, and it's very interesting. I mean, it's pretty obvious that the Democrats control everything and that the Republicans don't have a whole lot of say. One of the most interesting things that I saw was the Democrats had a hearing on the, I think it was about 1,300 voters that they illegally registered, I think nine of whom actually illegally cast ballots that were counted. And instead of trying to reform the system or figuring out what went wrong, their primary concern was if the federal DOJ prosecuted those nine people for illegally voting, would Oregon front the money to defend them, since it was technically Oregon's fault that they got sent a ballot? Which, whether that's true or not, I don't think that should be your first priority. I think your first priority should be solving the problem and fixing it and figuring out exactly what happened so it never happens again. Obviously, there's a lot of controversy based on around election integrity right now, and I think we should get to the bottom of it instead of, you know, being more concerned with the people that illegally voted and broke the law.
And your campaign has seemed maybe a little low-key this year. Any particular reason for that?
Well, I think anything feels low-key compared to the last two congressional races. I mean, I think in 2020 we set the record for the most expensive congressional race in Oregon's history between myself and Peter DeFazio. So I think anything would seem low-key in comparison to that. But it is, you know, a state rep race. It is a much smaller budget, thankfully, and it's a much smaller district. And again, it's only the southern half of Douglas County, so I'm not surprised that a lot of people in the northern half of Douglas County don't hear from me as much, because we're spending most of our time south. I've had tons of phone calls of people asking me why I'm not on their ballot this time around, and I have to explain that I'm running for a smaller House district that's just the southern half of Douglas County, parts of Josephine and Jackson. So it is, you know, dramatically different. But I would say that if you do live in the northern part of Douglas County and you're wondering why I'm not running for Congress, please vote for Monique Despain. She needs all the help she can get. It's going to be a close race. And again, we need to get those turnout numbers up.
And what is your website?
AlecForOregon.com, same as it's always been. We also have the Facebook page. Feel free to reach out if you'd like to donate or have any questions for me.
And what's ahead for you between now and Election Day?
I'm just getting as many votes in as possible. You know, we have a smaller mail plan, but we're working with the county parties on voter turnout, which, again, is dramatically behind. So that's mostly what I'm focused on. We need high turnout I mean, my district, I think, is 2-1 Republican advantage, but there's a lot of districts that need the help, especially in the Jackson County area and the Lane County area. So if you're outside of Douglas County listening to this or have friends or family, make sure they turn in their ballots, because everyone needs all the help that they can get. We even have some competitive city council races in the Roseburg area.
Alex Scarlatos, it's 1258.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.